Lord God, please let all that I say come from you through me and out to others. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
And once again today, the gospel gives us yet another bread lesson. And I thought that maybe I would give us a little bit of break today and have a little more of a low-carb diet for our lessons today. And as I began unpacking the lessons, I kept reading over and over again from Proverbs through the Psalm, through the Epistle, and onto the Gospel. I found another theme that really came to the front for me. And it made such an impact, I decided that I was going to start with this. CPE, Clinical Pastoral Education, is what I just finished doing, and I was at Sibley Hospital, and at one point, one of my patients said to me, you know, it's really too bad that life doesn't come with an instruction book. And I started thinking, yes, it does. It's the Bible. And we read it all the time. Most of you have one of these at home. And in our lectionary, this little instruction book gives us these little snippets. And from today's snippets, what I really got was a theme of wisdom. So I started with Proverbs, and I was reading through and reading through. I'd say, oh, Proverbs. What's a proverb? Anybody? So I started asking people, what's a proverb? I mean, certainly we all know what it is, right? But it's difficult for us to kind of wrap our minds around it and to name it. So I looked it up. A proverb expresses effectively some commonplace truth or useful thought, a wise saying or precept, usually of unknown or ancient origin. It is a truth based on common sense or the practical experience of humankind. And then it said this. Here's an example. A stitch in time saves nine. Okay. Every culture, every religion, everywhere have got snippets of wisdom, of these proverbs, these things. Recently I ran across one I really liked, and that was, don't throw wood onto a fire you'd rather not feed. Again, about the feeding and the feasting on and the fasting from. Of course, I forgot to give them at 8 o'clock, but I did have a musical reference, and that is, don't tug on Superman's cape, don't spit into the wind, don't pull the mask on the Lone Ranger, and don't mess around with Jim. Every culture, even rock and roll, has got its proverbs and its bits of wisdom. But I really wanted to start with Proverbs today and take a good look at this lesson. The very first words, wisdom has built her house and she's hewn her seven pillars. And I just went right past that onto the next thing and I went, seven pillars of wisdom. Well, what are the seven pillars of wisdom? Anybody know what the seven pillars are? This was fascinating. They are prudence, knowledge and discretion, fear of God, counsel, sound wisdom, understanding, and power. This came out of a little church in Australia who has a website that gives some information, and I really liked the way they framed it. They said, okay, let's talk about seven ways you can get wiser. Number one, prudence. People with prudence have self-restraint and sound judgment as part of their character. Okay. The second one is knowledge and discretion. Wisdom dwells with prudence. And if you have that, then you'll find knowledge and discretion. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. In other words, if something's chasing you, run. Okay? Use a little, and these build on each other. The next one is fear of God. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. In other words, we need to respect. True wisdom is firmly grounded in a fear of God and is free of the faults of worldly wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. So what does that mean? It's more than reverence. It means more than that. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It means having a right attitude towards God and the practical expression of this attitude in a person's day-to-day life by worshiping, serving, obeying, and loving God. In other words, we need to do something. Respect the Lord and do something. The fourth pillar is counsel. Counsel means to give good advice, to give wise guidance. But get this, it also means that we need to listen to counsel. To depend on one's own judgment, even in private matters, is the height of foolishness. I read that, I read it again, and then I went, oh, right, Ben Franklin said it. He said, one who serves as his own counsel has a fool for a lawyer. Okay, so we can't just give good advice. We need to take good advice and seek counsel when we need it. That's one of the pillars of wisdom, knowing when to ask for help. Even the wisest and godliest have made errors in discerning things. We need to seek counsel. And through inviting counsel from others who are experienced believers, that's what we're supposed to do. Listen to the advice, take the instruction. Number five, I'm only up to five now. Sound wisdom. I'm thinking, sound wisdom, what's this all about? Okay. The fifth pillar, sound wisdom, goes back to the Hebrew word of tushiya, which means, in kind of in a general sense, wise behavior or practical wisdom. In other words, how we put our wisdom into play that we have on in our day-to-day living. How are we wise? How can we do with what we know? Can we practice what we preach? I think that's the key to number five here in sound wisdom. Can we practice what we preach? Every Sunday we preach that we should love one another, but do we show it when we walk out the door? Okay, the next one is understanding, the next pillar. And it comes in three ways. To understand, first you need to know the source of all wisdom, and God is the source of all wisdom. And the second one is to receive instruction from that source. And we call that source the Bible. It requires not casual and detached study, but disciplined study and learning. Knowledge and learning are the keys to being wise in the truth. And finally, the last thing about understanding is that we must discern wisely, sort of like Solomon, be able to know the difference between good and evil. All right, last pillar. All right, seven pillars. This is strength or power. And this finally made sense to me, because there is no point in understanding what a problem is and knowing how to solve it if you don't have the power to implement the solution. Through hard work and diligence, it's possible to get the first six pillars, but at some point we have to apply the wisdom. In other words, we have to take action in the world. And that's where the power comes from. What we do matters. So strength and power, they come from attaining wisdom. And you have to use that power that you have for good and not for evil. Jesus attained his strength by being filled with wisdom. And that same wisdom, because that strength, don't forget, came from God the Father, is available to us if we ask for it. God gives wisdom generously to all who ask. And if we aspire to be like Jesus, then we need to live in that house built on those seven pillars of wisdom. So, back to the proverb. Like the gospel today, the proverb says that wisdom is serving bread and wine today. The proverb says that she has slaughtered animals, mixed wine, and set out a table. And I love this line. She sent her servant girls and to call from the highest places, "You that are simple, turn in here, and those without sense," she says, "come eat of my bread and drink of my wine." I didn't like the idea of thinking that I was simple or without sense. But I guess we all have to start somewhere. We all have something to learn. If I want to follow Jesus, then I need to eat the bread of wisdom. So then we go on to the psalm, and here's the thread I found through the psalm. And the psalm talks about fearing the Lord and respecting. It talks about hunger. And one point it says, "I will teach you children to fear the Lord." But this was my favorite line from the psalm. Did anybody hear the question in the psalm this morning? Who among you loves life and desires long life to enjoy prosperity? Live long and prosper. Okay. Did anybody even hear that question, or did we just kind of take that snippet and went on? Who wants to live long and prosper? Everybody wants to live long and prosper. And what does it tell us to do? Right after that, it says, in order to do that, keep your tongue from evil speaking. Keep your lips from lying words. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Those are words to live by. I began looking up wisdom stories from all kinds of different places, and I did find one that I liked that definitely talked about feeding on and fasting from, because that is the rest of the theme of all of these readings, and that is what we keep hearing in the gospel about the bread of life. And it came from an old Cherokee legend. You may have heard this before. There's an old Cherokee who is teaching his grandson, and he says to him, he says, "A fight is going on inside me. It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." The grandfather continued. He said, "The other wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." Then he told his grandson, he said, "The same fight is going on inside you. The same fight is going on inside every other person, too." The grandson thought about this for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" And the old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." What do you hunger for? What are you feeding on? What are you fasting from? A few weeks ago, Denise used very similar words in her text and asked us, "What are we hungry for?" So I'm wondering, what did you decide to feast on? I'm going to remind you what Denise said here. She said, "While many come to church not knowing the source of their hunger, fellowship and food have a way of saying welcome. This is a place of nourishment, a place of abundance." I think Holy Cross is one of those places where you can come and be nourished. Some find their sustenance in prayer and Bible study. Others are fed by serving in outreach and mission. Most of us are nurtured by the friendships formed in community, and I know that's true at Holy Cross. But what lies just beneath an ordinary church life is the unforeseen possibility that the miraculous is at work. Christ's presence made manifest in our words and deeds can transform a hungry heart into bread for the world. The bread is the word. Jesus is the word made flesh, and we will hunger no more when we feast on his word. And really, I think that what John 6 has been trying to say to us all these weeks is that it's not so much knowledge to be explained and understood that we are feeding on, it is relationships to be trusted and embraced. That's it. What you feed grows. The most important thing I did was I finally got to the gospel and I said, okay, here we are. And I read through it and I said, okay, here's the point where I really think I can identify with what the Jews had to say. What does he mean? We have to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. How does that work? How does that work out? I taught Sunday school for a long time, and it was really difficult when I got to this part of the passage trying to explain. Well, we're not eating Jesus, really. It's not quite the same. And, you know, seriously, could they thought of a different way to put this? So I said, okay, this isn't John. I'm going to go back to John. There it was, right there in front of me, chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and Jesus is the Word, and we need to simply feast on the Word." That's what we need to do. And that Word of God is in our Bible, and every one of you probably has one at home. And so I ask you today, go home, read it with new eyes, feast on it. It is life's instruction book for us. Because if you feast on the Word, then you will have everlasting life. So feast on the Word of God, fast from evil, and live long and prosper. Amen.